This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه وتلك القرى أهلكناهم لما ظلموا وجعلنا لمهلكهم موعدا. The verses we heard a few moments ago recited right before Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, in those towns or those villages or those cities or those nations, we punished them when they performed dhulm. And we made sure that their punishment had a specific time and it was witnessed by others. I mean, we made sure we made a point by doing it. The word dhulm, oppression, it's in the Quran over 289 times, right? 289 times this issue has been talked about in the Quran. Now, I'm not going to start a new series this week or maybe in a few weeks. There's a couple of things I want to talk about and kind of get off my chest. And this week specifically, the khutbah that I'm going to offer, the topic I'm going to talk about is something that probably all the masajid within the country are going to talk about. It's something that the councils of imams both locally and nationally have decided that we should probably address, and I agree, as tomorrow is the Truth and Reconciliation Day, because we decided that we were going to perform genocide and take land and give him the 30th of September, because that's a good compensation for it. When you talk about the word dhulm, it takes you back Islamically to the core values of what Islam is. And I find that we often don't necessarily fully understand what the word core values or principles within Islam are. Like we don't seem to all have the same comprehension of this term or these terms. When we talk about core values in Islam, we're talking about three basic things. And no, we're not talking about the rituals, the arkan al-Islam. I'm not talking about that. And no, we're not talking about tawheed, because that is an ideological core principle. This is a belief. This is a core belief. We're talking about values and principles, which are a little bit different. And Islam is based on three basic core values: righteousness, justice, and incorruptibility. حق عدل استقامة. These are the three words that you find all throughout the Quran repeated time and time again. No matter how much, where you read or what you're reading or when it was revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one way or the other, the verse is going to be rotating or circumambulating within the realm of one of these three words. And funny enough, the first two are just the anti-oppression. What is righteousness and justice really at the end? Which is why this word dhulm in the Quran is repeated so many times. Because why is the easiest? I could just give this whole khutbah by just reciting verses. Give you small paragraphs where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about dhulm. And then once I'm done, a couple of hours in, I can go ahead and start narrating for you a hadith within the authentic books of hadith and go on for a couple of hours as well. So it's very, very peculiar to me sometimes as Muslims when we don't prioritize this topic as an issue that we stand very firmly against and that we accept in no way and on no level are we okay with it, and it a part of our core principles to be against it and to be pro-justice and righteousness at all times. Which is why I don't like the idea of having a day a year to remember something. I really don't. I've always found that to be, I don't know what it is. It's something, it's a personality trait. I don't like it. Like, I'm not big on birthdays. I'm not big on this stuff. I don't think it's, because I feel like what it really does, that allows you, it just allows us on a certain level, the luxury of forgetting about the topic later. Because I remember that one day, then I can move on. I don't feel responsible to continuously talk about something. Now, that may not be the case for most people. I'm not saying that is. I'm just saying why, telling you why. Personally, not too big on things that come in the same day, or once a week, once a year, or once a week, or once out of anything. Now, this is the time of the year where we remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in more intensity. Within this month, he was born. Within this month, he passed away alayhi salatu wasalam. So this khutbah should be reminding us. We should be bring him alayhi salatu wasalam, and we will, because I think the way to remember him the best alayhi salatu wasalam is remembering what values and principles he came here to make sure that we would never forget. That's really how you remember him, alayhi salatu wasalam. What's the point of remembering other aspects of his character, alayhi salatu wasalam, and being in love with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and talking about the way he looked and the way, but then we turn our backs on the basics of what he came to change. To me, that sounds very weird. There's something missing. There is a very big gap here between what we are and what we should be. You want to celebrate him alayhi salatu wasalam, there's many ways to do it. I think the most important way to do it is to go back and say, well, what is it that he taught? What did he come here and make sure that we wouldn't ever forget? Then you just open the Quran and you find the word dhulm there 289 times. And then you open the Sahihain and you find him say, قال الله تعالى, this is muttafaq alayhi, ya ibadi. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's telling us alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, it's not Quran, it's a hadith Qudsi. Ya ibadi, inni harramtu dhulma ala nafsi, waja'altuhu baynakum muharraman, fala tazzalamu, aw fala tazzalamu. Oh my servants, I have made oppression forbidden on myself. And no one forbids Allah from doing anything, but he forbade himself from ever oppressing anyone. And I have made oppression forbidden amongst you, so do not oppress one another. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, اتق الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة, as in Sahih Muslim. Be very aware of oppression, because dhulm turns into darkness on the Day of Judgment, where you can't move anymore and you can't make your way through the sirat. Hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say, اتقي دعوة المظلوم وإن كان كافرا فليس لها دون الله حجاب. Be very aware and be very cautious and careful from the dua of the oppressed, even if they're a disbeliever, because there's nothing that's holding it back from reaching Allah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, hadith in the collection of Imam al-Tayalisi with the reasonable chain narration, da'watu al-mazlumi mustajabatun walau kana fajiran fafujuruhu ala nafsihi. The dua of the oppressed is accepted even if this person is not a practicing Muslim, even if this person behaves in ways where everyone says that's not appropriate, because his inappropriateness and mistakes is going to affect him. That's his problem. That's something he has to deal with on his own. But when you're oppressed, things change. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would ask the Sahaba, who is the one who is the muflis? The hadith is called Hadith al-Muflis, also in the collection of Imam Muslim. Who is the one who is bankrupt? And they would say, it's the person who has no wealth. And then he would correct them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would tell them, المفلس فينا من أمتي من يأتي يوم القيامة بصلاة وزكاة وصيام وحج. This is the wording of the hadith, by the way. It's the person or my ummah who comes on the day of judgment and they have prayer and they have siyam and they paid zakah and they've done hajj and all that. ويأتي وقد ضرب هذا وشتم هذا وأكل مال هذا وسفك دم هذا وهتك عرض هذا. He comes on the day of judgment, but he has cursed this person, hit that person, mistreated that person, taken the wealth of this person, harmed the integrity of that person. فيأخذ هذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته. And they all come and they start taking their rights and they start taking those hasanat from him. حتى تفنى حسناته, until this person has no hasanat left. فيلقى عليه من سيئاتهم. Since they can't take their hasanat, there are people waiting in line for what is theirs, what is their rights. Since they can't take hasanat, they take from their sayyi'at and they give to him. فيلقى عليه من سيئاتهم ثم يلقى في النار. And this person is thrown into jahannam, والعياذ بالله. I had a teacher who would not dare. Wallahi, you may agree with this, you may not. It's okay, I'm just sharing with you a thought process on this. He wouldn't dare make dua openly on the word zalim without specificity. Like he couldn't bring himself to say, Allahumma ahlik al-zalimeen. He couldn't do it. He couldn't say, oh Allah, punish the oppressors. He couldn't do it. If there's a specific oppressor, then maybe. But to generalize, he couldn't do it. And when he asked him why, he would tell you, because I don't know if maybe I'm one of them. Because I don't know if I'm one of them. Maybe I'm an oppressor. Maybe I've harmed people and taken what is theirs. Maybe I've walked through this life and I'm leaving behind me a trail of oppression and mistreatment, and I'm just too blind to see it. So if I make dua on oppressors altogether, maybe I'm making dua against myself, so I hold my tongue. Understanding the problem here. This level. فَكَأَيِّم مِّن قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ فَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ وَقَصْرٍ مَشِيدٍ. And how many towns and cities and villages we have punished because of their oppression. So now they stand empty on their vines and on their old or empty or dried up wells and on their once high standing castles. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Did they never walk the earth? فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Did they not walk the earth and then contemplate and think with their hearts and listen with their ears? Now you say you think with your brain. Yeah, that's superficial thinking. When we talk about contemplation and reflection, the subconsciousness does that. That's why the qulub is used in this ayah. And then he says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Because it's not eyes that go blind, it's hearts that go blind. It's hearts that go blind, not the eyes. When we decide to see ظلم and just look away and act like it's not there and continue on, ignoring it, drawing a conscious blind eye to it. Do you know that the Hanabila within fiqh wouldn't allow salah on a land that is maghsuba? They don't allow you praying on land that was taken illegally. They don't allow it. The Jumhur allow it, but they say you shouldn't be standing there. The Hanab don't even allow you to pray on that land. Because the issue of oppression is not a secondary topic within the deen. It's not something where it's open for ijtihad, whether how you deal with it, whether you deal with it or not, or whether you take it seriously or not, or whether you protect yourself from it, or whether you're anti it. It is an issue that is core within our deen. When we talk about the Orange Shirt Day, and we talk about what happened to the indigenous people of this land, the natives of this land, you stand in awe of what happened and how we just continue moving forward as if it didn't. One of the worst atrocities that have happened within the last couple of centuries is what happened on the land that you and I stand upon. It's what happened to the people who once lived here. The people who inherited this land by God himself. You see, you and I have textures, different textures. This land here didn't make the texture you're seeing. It was produced somewhere else. All of earth is Mother Earth, but some parts are a bit more close to you than others. This land here produced a different type of person. And they lived here for a long time, and then they lost all of it. And it wasn't the fact that he just lost it. They didn't lose a bet. They were killed in the millions, and they were removed. And they were treated as if they weren't even human. But they got the 30th of September. I mean, what else are you going to ask for? A day a year where we can remember them. We have to be more pragmatic and practical when we talk about dhulm. Why? Because dhulm doesn't end with the action itself. It doesn't. It doesn't. Dhulm doesn't stop with the person who's oppressed. Oppression continues to eat away at the oppressed and their descendants for generations upon generations, for hundreds of years. Dhulm never goes away. Dhulm never goes away. Which is why Yawm al-Qiyamah, the first thing that is judged amongst people, ad-dima, blood. The first thing, you think it's salah, it's not salah. Salah comes later. The first thing, awwal, fi hadith Muslim, awwal ma yuqda bayna an-nasi yawm al-Qiyamah ad-dima. The first thing that's going to be settled are blood. Because that level of oppression, you know, we have to settle that first. There is no way around that piece. There is no way around it. And as a Muslim, you are required to be anti-oppression, no matter where the oppression is occurring. Whether it's the oppression that occurred within the Holy Land of Palestine and what happened to the people there. Whether it's the oppression that occurred upon the indigenous people within this land. As Muslims, we do not turn a blind eye to that. And we don't act like it didn't happen. Now, I don't know exactly what to do about it. I'm not going to stand here and act like I have the answers, because I don't. I don't know exactly what we need to do. But what I do know is that we cannot afford to act like these things didn't happen. We can't shelve them and put them aside, and we can't ignore them as we walk through life. That for sure we can't do. For sure we can't afford to do it. Because if you accept, see, dhulm, oppression, is like this big wheel of destruction. Once it rolls over one group of people, unless you stop it and fix it, it will continue to roll until it rolls over you. It will continue to move and destroy until it rolls over you. Mark my words. I am here today because of this. This is why I stand here. You would never met me had that not been the case. Because we were a people who saw dhulm and didn't care. We didn't care. I will be very honest with you. We did not care. We lived close to people who were living under dhulm on both sides, to the east and to the west. And we didn't care. I lived there for 15 years. We didn't talk about it because it didn't matter to us. So the same wheel that ran them over and put them through pain came and ran us over. And no one cared when it did either. And I had nothing to say. There was no reason for me to object and say, well, why aren't people caring? Because I didn't either. I didn't either. So we have a chance as Muslims here today. We have the time and we have the ability to reflect and think. Dhulm continues to happen. Continues to happen all over the world. As Muslims, we refuse it wholeheartedly, regardless of who is being oppressed and who is doing the oppression. And we don't cherry pick. We don't say one act of dhulm is worse than the other. All dhulm is dhulm, and all of it should be refused. And all of it, we should stand against it. And we should be very clear on that. We should respect where we are, on whose land we stand, and who once was here. We should respect the fact that we are guests on a land of others. I know this. A lot of people don't like that. That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to. But this is the historic reality of the matter. It's okay to be a guest. We're a guest in life anyways. We're only here for a couple of laps around the sun, and we're gone. Acknowledging that there's one more level of being a guest is okay. Acknowledging that there's one more level of it. So that we act and remember. So we remember that. Because if we don't, it's just a matter of time. And if it doesn't affect you in your life, then if you're lucky enough to go through your life and it doesn't affect, it'll affect your children. It'll come around. It'll come around. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده إخواني وأخواتي حديث الجمعة اليوم عن قضية الظلم وإن كنت تفقه كلامي باللغة العربية فلست غريبا عن هذه الكلمة ولا عن مقدماتها ولا عن آثارها ولا عن عواقبها ولا عن تداعياتها فكل متحدث باللغة العربية اليوم يفهم هذا المعنى فهما كبيرا وله فيه وله مع هذه الكلمة تجارب وله فيه استيعاب عميق قد لا يشاركه غيره إياه. وهذه الأرض التي نقف عليها والتي نمشي في مناكبها ونأكل من رزق الله فيها أرض تم اغتصابها من أهلها، تم ذبح أهلها بالملايين، وأخذت منهم أراضيهم، سلبت منهم، ثم جعلوا في مناطق خاصة وحاولوا أخذ هوياتهم وعاملوهم كالبهائم، بل أسوأ من ذلك. لعقود طويلة حدث هذا الأمر، والمظلمة في هذه البلد أشد من أي مظلمة أخرى، لأن الأمر نسي تماما. بنوا على جثثهم وعلى مقابرهم مدنا كبرى لا الناس لا تعرف إلا إياها، ونسيت المظلمة والأمر ماشي، ولم يبقى أحد يطالب أصلا بما ظلموا به. فجعلوا لهم يوما في العام نتذكرهم. لكن غاية خطبة اليوم ليست تذكيركم بهذه المأساة أو بمآسي المسلمين والمظالم التي وقعت على المسلمين في كل بلاد المسلمين، ولو عددت بلاد المسلمين بلدا بلدا لم أبالغ، فليس من بلد يحيا فيها المسلمون كأكثريات أو كأقليات إلا وهناك مظالم تستحق منا التدبر والتفكر والوقوف معهم. لكن أريد أن أذكركم أننا كمسلمين نقف مع الحق والعدل حيث كان، ندور مع الحق والعدل حيث داراه، ونقف أمام الظلم حيث كان بغض النظر من الظالم ومن المظلوم. هذه قضية لا يساوم فيها. أنا لا أدري ما الذي يعني حصل في خلال الأعوام الخمسين الأخيرة. أنا لما كنت طفل ما كان أحد يخرج يقول يعني يطبع مع العدو الصهيوني أو نقبل دولتين أو يعني ما هذا الكلام الفارغ الذي يقال اليوم. أنا نشأت في زمان في طفولتي الأمر كان واضح. نعم المسلم ربما هذا المسلم لا يصلي، ربما لا يعني لا ربما يشرب الخمر، لكن الكل يعرف أن مظلمة المسلمين لا يمكن التناسل عنها ولا المساومة ولا المداهنة فيها. أما اليوم فما أدري والله ما أدري ما الذي حصل، لكن المسلم لا يمكن أن يقبل بالظلم، لا يمكن. طاووس بن كيسان اليماني رضي الله عنه من كبار التابعين دخل على هشام بن عبد الملك فقال له: يا هشام اتق يوم الأذان. فقال هشام: وما يوم الأذان؟ فقال: فأذن مؤذن بينهم اللعنة الله على الظالمين. فصعق هشام، فقال طاووس: هذا ذل الصفة، فكيف ذل المعاينة؟ كيف لما تشوف انت سمعت فصعقت، كيف لما تشوف؟ Brothers and sisters, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, whom these months are months where we increase the amount of our remembrance of him عليه الصلاة والسلام and celebrate his character and try to emulate what he did. Towards the end of his life, this is something he said multiple times, and you'll find in مجمع الزوائد للإمام الهيثمي a hadith that has an authentic chain narration where the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام got on a minbar towards the end, maybe last couple of days, last week of his life, and he said, من كنت قد جلدت له ظهرا فهذا ظهري فليجلده. Whomever I have harmed or I've laid my hand on or has been punished by me and they feel that is unfair, this is my back, come take what is yours. ولا يخشى مني الشحناء. And don't be afraid that I'm going to be upset with you or hold a grudge, because I don't hold grudges. وإني أرجو أن ألقى الله خاليا. And I hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where I owe nobody anything. I hope to meet Allah owing no one anything, with nothing on me, no debt. صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is what he's worried about. He's worried that يوم القيامة, before he can move towards Jannah, someone says, no, you owe me. You didn't do, you treated me that way. You spoke to me in that way. You ignored me. You mistreated. You made me. What are we going to say? And you're saying the problem. The smallest amount of ظلم يوم القيامة, you will stand. You're not going anywhere. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you, how amazing you were. It doesn't matter what level of wilaya you achieved or how deep your shahada was or how much khair you did. If you've oppressed someone, you stand. You stand that. لا ظلم اليوم. There is no oppression today. No one is going, justice is going to be served fully. So not only are we supposed to be observing injustices around us and making sure that that's not the case, and we will not draw a blind eye to any act of injustice around us, we have to make sure that we're not a part of the problem too. We have to, that is how Muslims behave. If you're a Muslim, for sure, and we are, inshallah, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us good Muslims, inshallah. Now we are continuously walking this earth, making sure that we're not oppressing people. We're very scared of that. We're always analyzing, observing. Have I harmed anyone? Have I mistreated anyone? And taking a step back and making sure, because doesn't matter. Wallahi, it doesn't matter. How much Qiyam al-Layl you have and how many times you read the Quran. If you come Yawm al-Qiyamah with dhulm, you're on your own. You are on your own. Even those who are hoping to intercede for you. Well, sorry. I would intercede, but we didn't agree on dhulm. I didn't know you were going to come oppressing people, mistreating them and carrying dhulm and having blood on your hands or owing people stuff. This is a core value within our deen. And I wanted to share it with you today because I think it's a good time to share it. I think when we talk about the Prophet ﷺ and we have the Truth and Reconciliation Day coming tomorrow, I think it's worth remembering what he stood for ﷺ and what you stand for. You stand for righteousness. You stand for justice. First and foremost, before you stand for anything else, on a social level, on a global level, you stand for these two basic ideas. And that's why we will never be okay with injustice. It doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do. For a Muslim, there's nothing you can do. Offer whatever you want. As long as the injustice stands, we will continue to oppose it till the last breath that we carry. And we will make sure that our children are taught to do that, and they will do that to their children. And we will continue to teach and coach Muslims to refuse oppression regardless of when it occurs and who does it. And if this sounds extreme to you, it isn't. If it sounds extreme and a bit too over the edge, it is not. It is not. It is core within our deen. Alayhi salatu wasalam, what he came to do was to remove dhulm. He came to make sure that injustice was going to be removed. And he taught his sahaba never to do it. Which is why Umar al-Khattab wouldn't sleep during his khilafah. Which is why he stayed up night and day thinking about maybe did he not do what he was supposed to do. Was someone oppressed under him? Was the way he was ruling causing people to be mistreated because he was scared? And when his son said, yeah, my father, add me to the group of shura who are going to be amongst them, they're going to choose the next khalifa, add me. And he was worthy. His son Abdullah was totally worthy of being added. Leadership and knowledge and he had it all. And his father told him, no. Only one person from Bani al-Khattab will carry this on the Day of Judgment. I don't need two of us. I don't need two of us standing there hoping that we have enough. I can't. For my sake, don't do it. Because I have to stand Yawm al-Qiyamah and be asked about oppression. And whether we fell into it knowingly or unknowingly. I'll end with that, inshallah ta'ala. On your way out, you'll find a banner for the Western MSA. They're trying to collect some donations to help renovate some of the rooms. If you want to help them, I would encourage that and ask you to kindly do so. We, inshallah ta'ala, have the halaqat running tonight after Maghrib, the Arabic tafsir, and then we have restarted Seerah last week. So Saturday, tomorrow after Maghrib, the second episode. Please, anyone who you know who would benefit from hearing the stories, or especially younger people, it's a really good time for them to come and kind of benefit from those stories, inshallah ta'ala. We continue to run the IDA courses and programs. There's still room for registration. The classes are pretty much full, but we can still take on some more if people want to actually learn. We have the courses running within this masjid at different times. Get to know that if you don't, especially for high school students and university students. This is designed to be parallel learning, inshallah, for everyone. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.